peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to his companions, and to all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of recompense. As to what follows, verily the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, the Quran, and the best guidance and way of life and example to be followed is that of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the worst of affairs are the ones that we introduce into this deen of ours, because every newly introduced matter is an innovation. Every innovation leads astray, and whatever is astray will wind up in the hellfire. Brothers and sisters in Islam, an ideal day in the life of a Muslim. Now, the first thing which I would like to elaborate on is the fact that the life of a Muslim and the life of a non-Muslim are two opposite extremes. The life of a Muslim and the life of a non-Muslim are two opposite extremes. You may be thinking why and how. Well, as I explained, the ideal Muslim day. Okay, here we go. The typing. As I explained that, you'll be able to see why they are on two opposite extremes. The first reason is because of our outlook on life. The outlook on life, the understanding of the objective of life, necessitates a particular behavior. It necessitates a particular behavior. And this is something which no two people can disagree on. I'll give you an example. Two students attend a school. One of them truly, sincerely wants to succeed. He wants to make it. He wants to pass. He wants to move on. He wants to graduate. He wants to acquire his degree. He understands the concept of education. He understands the concept of responsibility. He understands the concept of discipline. While the other student couldn't care less about education, doesn't understand the concept of education, has no understanding of discipline, nor is he disciplined. He doesn't really care for graduating, he doesn't really care for making it, he doesn't really care for acquiring any knowledge, he doesn't really care for treating people fairly. He simply does not have this outlook on education as the first. No two people will disagree that the behavior of these two students will be totally different and proportional to their understanding. Their outlook on schooling and education and graduation will reflect in the way they deal with things. So one will be punctual, one will be consistent, one will be respectful, one will be wise, one will be intelligent, one will do things on time, while the other one will do exactly the opposite. Why? Because their outlook on schooling and education are, their outlooks are different. Now, when we speak about life, we have to look at the Muslim and the non-Muslim in the same way. Because of the Muslim's outlook on life, because of the Muslim's understanding of the purpose of life, because of that, you will find that the Muslim will behave and conduct himself or herself in such a way that is totally different, totally in contradiction with that of the non-Muslim, whose view on life, whose outlook on life, whose understanding of the purpose of life is the opposite of that of a Muslim. Which means that whatever we see the non-Muslims doing, then we should avoid, except that which is part of Islam and we're failing to do. Because there are aspects which are part of the Islamic teaching which the non-Muslims are more successful in applying than we are, and that is a deficiency within us. And I will give you some examples in a little bit, inshallah. So, the way you look at life will reflect in your behavior. the more we know who the Creator is and why we were created and what's going to happen eventually, the more this will affect our behavior. Now the common problem which we all face is our weakness in faith. The weakness in faith, the weakness in certainty in Allah's promise, the weakness in preparation for the life to come, cause us to behave in a manner which is Islamically rejected and unacceptable. Had our faith been sound, had our iman been strong, had our certainty been intact, then we would have behaved in a totally different way. But we aim and strive to strengthen our iman, our certainty, so that we may acquire these qualities. An ideal day in a Muslim's life only begins, wa alaykum salam, only begins when we understand what life is. When you say an ideal day, what is a day? If you ask a regular person walking down the street, what is a day? He will tell you a day is possibly 24 hours, or he may tell you it's 12 hours because the night is 12 hours and the day is 12 hours, for example. Or he will tell you a day is, what I do at a particular period of time and a duration of time in terms of work and what have you, earning a living. And you ask different people about a day, and they will give you their own worldly views. But you ask a Muslim about a day, he will tell you a day is another chance given to me by Allah so I may better my relationship with Him and better prepare myself for the life to come. That is a day in a Muslim's definition. That's why when someone came to Muhammad bin Wasi' rahimahullah, one of the tabi'een, and he said, كيف أصبحت? He says, how's your morning? How you feel this morning? He told him, ما بالك أو ما ظنك برجل يرتحل إلى الله منذ 60 سنة أو كما قال رحمه الله. He said, what do you think about a man who's been traveling towards Allah for the past 60 years? What condition do you think I'm in this morning? So the way the Sahaba and the Tabi'een looked at a day was that this is the last day of my life. This could be the last day of my life. They didn't just think about it the way we think about it. No, they thought about that day could be the last day. That is the last, these are the last hours or even minutes given to me as an opportunity to return to Allah, to rectify my condition in Allah's sight, to fix my busted self up. And so let me make all the effort within my ability to make that change so I can utilize this day properly. When was the last time you felt that way? When was the last time I felt that way? When was the last time we felt that way? Allah knows best. You don't have to answer me. A day then is an opportunity to become a better Muslim. And how can a day be ideal if one is not applying the teachings of Islam in one's life? That day cannot be, because ideal is that which is good, recommended, acceptable, decent, and common. Ideal. And in Islam, it can only be ideal if everything which is pertaining to the Islamic teachings is integrated into this day. If it is not, it is not ideal. For that day to be ideal, one must be applying the teachings of Islam in one's life. And that begins early, early on during Salatul Fajr. And we will go around the clock. But let us begin with Salatul Fajr. Brothers and sisters in Islam, don't answer me, but answer yourself. How many of you pray Salatul Fajr on time 7 days a week? 30 or 29 days a month according to the lunar calendar, and 350 some days a year. And for the brothers in particular, how many of you pray Salatul Fajr every morning in Jama'ah? Don't answer, because some of our answers may be a little too embarrassing and disappointing. But the truth of the matter is, from what I see in my local masjid, mind you, I'm in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia, okay? Not in Canada, not in Los Angeles, not in, you know, some other country. We're in the kingdom, you know, the land of Islam and Muslims, alhamdulillah. Still, the masjid which can easily accommodate 1,000+ worshippers during Salatul Fajr at the time of Iqamah, at the time of Takbiratul Ihram, the first row is incomplete. Did you guys hear me? The first row is incomplete, as in there's room to the right and to the left in the first row. Sure enough, by the time the salah is over, we have another half row behind us. Half a row, not a whole row, half behind us. Okay? Now you come to the same masjid for Dhuhr, you know, and all of a sudden this masjid is packed. And this masjid got a good, you know, seven rows, eight rows. And you must wonder, where was everybody during Fajr? Where were they? Well, you will find that many people are in love with their pillows. Many people are madly in love with their pillows. يعني, you give them money, man. Say, listen, you put over his head, he's $100 or 100 riyals or whatever currency you have, 100 pounds. Take it, bro. Just get up. That pillow is way more valuable than standing before Allah. On the other hand, you will easily go outside and catch a disbeliever taking his dog out for his usual morning potty training. For his morning defecation. Excuse my language. Excuse my French. Defecation. In the morning, the dog. They go up for the dog. They wake up for the dog. They go out for the dog. So the dog will make his little nasty stuff outside the house. No problem for a kafir to wake up at, you know, 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning for a little doggy to handle his business, his chihuahua, whatever that thing is called. And the Muslim is, yalla. Ideal Muslim? Ideal day for a Muslim? Not really if you didn't wake up for Fajr. And it is unacceptable that you miss Fajr, you know, twice a week. Just in case you thought that was fine, that is not fine. You should never miss Fajr, and if ever, maybe once a year, twice a year, and that's a calamity, that's a disaster. Why? How bad can it be? You're sleepy? Everybody gets sleepy. Everybody gets sleepy, but trust me, even if you had an hour of sleep or 2 hours of sleep, if you had a flight to catch, you better believe you'll be up. You will be up, akhi and ukhti. You'll be up. So it is about prioritizing and giving the rights for those who deserve the rights the most. Like Allah Azza wa Jal, who deserves the right, who has the right that you wake up for salah in Fajr. Particularly when the Prophet ﷺ stated that the most difficult prayer upon a hypocrite, the munafiqeen, is salatay al-fajr wal-isha. The two prayers of Fajr and Isha. And if they knew that there was a nice piece of bone and meat, marrow meat, you know, waiting for them in the masjid, they would have come to the masjid. If every munafiq knew that if he went to the Salat of Fajr and there was a Mercedes, you know, they would give a Mercedes for the first one to enter the masjid, you better believe these hypocrites will be standing in line before the masjid opens for Salat of Fajr, so he can take his key for the Mercedes. But she said, and for the sake of Allah, said, not me. Hypocrisy. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ نَسْأَلُ اللَّهِ الْعَافِيَةِ. And this is the same thing. You don't have to go to the masjid, but you better be up after salat, at the time of salat. You better not be among those who wake up at 9 in the morning and, you know, and pray 4 rak'at like a chicken. you know, pecking from the floor, as the Prophet ﷺ described the one who prays in this fashion. He said, "Tilka salatul munafiq, tilka salatul munafiq." That is the prayer of the hypocrite. He waits until the sun rises and he gets up and he prays four rak'at, you know, quickly and khalas. We have to look. Say, "Well, brother, you're being tough, you're being harsh." No, 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 I'm not. No, we're living at a time and an age where everybody's always sugarcoating and saying, "Malish, no problem, no problem, it's okay." We lost our deen. When people try to, you know, make us feel good about our shortcomings. And I don't have this methodology I don't agree with, man. We have to say the truth even if people dislike it. Now you may hate me for it, but if what I'm saying is pleasing to Allah, and you are sound, then Allah will make you love what I'm saying. Because Allah loves the truth to be said. Because this is between me and Allah. And I have to say these things because enough being easygoing and flexible in things where Islam shows no flexibility. We have to stop sleeping during Fajr. Period. Repent to Allah for the rest of your life. Never ever miss a salah again. Khalas. Once in a blue moon, Allah al-Musta'an, like the salaf, when one of them would miss salah in jama'ah, or when he would miss salah, then he would cry. And people will come and give him condolences as if it was a funeral prayer because he missed a single salah. They weren't like us. We miss salah, big deal. No, it's a big deal. It is a big deal. So the ideal day of a Muslim begins with you beginning your day on good terms with Allah. By waking up in the morning and saying, "Asbahna wa asbah al-mulku lillah." By making the dua in the bed, "Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi an-nushur." Listen to the first things which you're supposed to say when you wake up. Oh, praise is due to Allah who gave us life after death, and to Him is the resurrection. To Him is the return and the resurrection and the return. Every day when you wake up, you think about death and life because death, sleeping is a form of death. It's death's cousin. You may never wake up. So wake up in the morning on good terms. And whoever prays Fajr, فَهُوَ فِي ذِمَّةِ اللَّهِ, he is in Allah's protection. When you pray Salatul Fajr on time in Jama'ah, brother, you are in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah protects you, no one can harm you. If Allah protects you, no one can do anything except what Allah has written for you. So we wake up in the morning with Salatul Fajr. We don't slack, and we don't, you know, fall short in fulfilling that right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, after we wake up on time, the righteous predecessors used to advise us that when we wake up in the morning, we should have a particular niyyah. We should have a particular niyyah. One of the wise people said, "إذا أصبح الرجل ينبغي أن ينوي أربعة أشياء." If a man or a woman, for this matter, wake up, he or she should intend four things. أولها أداء ما فرض الله عليه. The first niyyah is that you would want to fulfill what Allah has made obligatory upon you. والثاني اجتناب ما نهى الله عنه. You should intend that you will avoid everything which Allah prohibited. والثالث إنصاف من كان بينهم وبينهم معاملة. Thirdly, that you deal with justice and you be fair with those whom you have transactions with. والرابع إصلاح ما بينه وبين خصمائه. Fourthly, to reconcile between you and your enemy. فإذا أصبح على هذه النيات أرجو أن يكون من الصالحين المفلحين. He said, if a man has these four intentions when he wakes up, then I hope he will be among the righteous and the successful people. That you intend to fulfill what Allah has made obligatory, to avoid what Allah has made forbidden, to be fair and just with people you deal with and you work with and you have transactions with, and that you strive to reconcile with your enemies. Have that niyyah in the morning. Don't just wake up like nothing is, like, you know, like you don't have anything. Wake up in the morning with thinking, "Today inshallah I want to be a good Muslim. Today I will be an obedient slave to Allah. Today I will fulfill my promises."
When I promise someone something, I will do it. I don't promise them something and say, yeah, catch you later. Yeah, inshallah. And then, gone with the wind. And what happened to the promise, chief? What happened to fulfillment of promises, akhi? Don't you know that you're supposed to keep your word as a Muslim? وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. And those concerning that which they entrusted with, their covenant, they are maintainers. They look, observe them, maintain them, look after them. They keep them. From the morning, have the intention to do everything right. Now, as the Fajr prayer is made, of course you should do the remembrance of the morning, Adhkar al-Sabah. And the time of Adhkar al-Sabah, as the ulama recommend, is between the Adhan of Fajr, between the entrance of Fajr and the sunrise. Some of the ulama say you may do it afterwards, but the recommended time is between the time of Fajr, the entrance of Fajr, and sunrise, Shuruq. This is the time for the Adhkar. You can find them in the books of Husn al-Muslim. Some of them are inauthentic, a couple of them are inauthentic in Husn al-Muslim. Nevertheless, the general situation is fine. Condition of the book is good and authentic, alhamdulillah, with some exceptions to the rule. Then you can learn them and memorize them from there. And you do the Adhkar of the Sabah. Then naturally we have to go to work, and when we have to go to work, this is where we face a huge, huge problem, which is, how do I fulfill that which I am entrusted with as an employee, or as a boss, or as a manager, or as a freelancer, or as a private, instructor, whatever is it that you do, whatever it is that you do, we have to really carry it out in a manner pleasing to Allah. Because we are expected to be perfectionists in Islam. Or we're expected to strive to perfection, even though it is unattainable, but it is a goal. Ifqanul amal, it is known in Islam. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that Allah loves it, that if one of you does something, he does it well. He excels. He tries to perfect it to the best of his ability. So then we observe Allah's rooting work to the best of our abilities. We fulfill what is expected of us to the best of our abilities. And I remind myself first, and everybody else, to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in regards to this matter, that we do what we are entrusted in doing. Now, during the day, here we come across a lot of friction. That friction is whispers from the shaitan. So one is, one tends to wish or get involved in backbiting, or one tends to get involved in gossiping, or one tends to get involved in mockery, or one tends to get involved in lying, or one tends to get involved in bribery. All of these forms of violations, or one deals with riba, interest, all of these issues we need to be careful of. Meaning when we are working, we also have to watch ourselves and our statements and our actions. We have to observe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning them. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَوَضِعَ الْكِتَابُ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابُ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا. And the book will be placed. ووضع الكتاب فترى المجرمين. Then you will see the criminals مشفقين in the state of distress مِمَّا فِيهِ, because of what is contained in this book of deeds, in this book of records. And they will say, woe to us, what is the matter with this book? It does not leave anything, whether it is small or big, except that it contains it, except that it has recorded it, except that it is there. And then they found what they had done placed before them, presented before them, and your Lord addresses no one. This ayah, if you just read it, if we were to read it and reflect on it, we will be behaving in a totally different way. But we complain to Allah our weakness of faith and our negligence and shortcoming, so that we don't reflect on these ayahs. And we read them, but this is Surah Al-Kahf, by the way. This is Surah Al-Kahf, which probably every one of us read today, unless one didn't know the ruling. Probably every one of us read this ayah today at some point in time. That everything we will do will be in that book. But where are we? So then the way we conduct ourselves at work has to do with this as well. That book will contain everything which we have done. وَأَنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِذِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ. Upon you وَأَنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِذِينَ are guards, guardian angels. Not guarding you, as in they guard everything you say. كِرَامًا, they are noble حافظين. They كاتبين, they write, they scribe, they write down everything we do. Naturally, around Salat al-Zuhr, we will be again in prepared for Salah. And the wise person is the one who does not wait till Adhan to start getting ready for Salah. The wise, intelligent person is the one who prepares for Salah before the time of Salah comes in. So if you know the Zuhr comes in at 12:20, at 12:05 you're in the bathroom, handling your business. At 12:10 you are making wudu, at 12:15 you are totally ready for salat, and naturally by the time it is adhan or before adhan, if you're a brother you're at the masjid, and if you're a sister you're ready for the time for the salat to come in, for you to begin right away. As soon as the time comes in, within a minute, you are already engaged in salat. Why? Because you want the reward. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ was asked, what are the deeds which are most beloved to Allah? What is the deed most beloved to Allah? The first thing he said, As-salatu ala waqtiha, praying on time, prayer on time, praying on time, prayer on time. Among the most beloved to Allah is that you pray at the earliest point when the time of salah comes in. Isha, for the sisters, is an exception to the rule because of the narrations which refer to that. But generally speaking, the rest of the salawat, prayer on time. This is the attitude concerning Salat al-Zuhr. Now, if there's the sunnah of Qaylula, to have a nap, a short nap, as means of rejuvenating yourself, and so you can have energy for the rest of the day. Whoever has the time to pray that, then whoever has the time to get that nap, then one should do that, because of the many benefits which lie, as you know, anything which is taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is naturally going to be beneficial for you in this life and in the life to come. In this life and in the life to come. Now, in the day between Fajr and Zuhr, and then Zuhr afterwards, we should reflect on some of the statements of our righteous predecessors and what they said concerning that. قال نصر بن محمد السمرقندي ويقال الناس يصبحون على ثلاثة أصناف عفوا. نصر بن محمد said that people wake up in three various conditions. صنف في طلب المال, this is for the morning until the rest of the day, a group of people seeking wealth, seeking money. وصنف في طلب الإثم, and a group of people seeking sin. Some people wake up in the morning, they just want to make money. And others wake up in the morning, they want to please themselves, follow their desires. They just sin, disobey Allah. وَصِنْفٌ فِي طَلَبِ الطَّرِيقِ, and another one seeking the path. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَصْبَحَ فِي طَلَبِ الْمَالِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَأْكُلُ فَوْكَ مَا رَزَقَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. As for the one who wakes up seeking money, then let him know that he will not get anything beyond what Allah has already preordained for him. The sustenance which Allah decreed, he's going to get nothing more than that. وَإِنْ أَكْثَرَ الْمَالِ, Even if the money, even if he strives for that. وَمَنْ أَضْضَعَ بِطَلَبِ الْإِثْمِ لَحَقِّهِ الْهَوَانِ وَالْإِثْمِ. And the one who strives in seeking sin, then he is deserving then, and deserving of having the sin and humiliation and disgrace. وَمَنْ أَضْضَعَ بِطَلَبِ الطَّرِيقِ أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى الرِّزْقَ وَالطَّرِيقِ. And whoever wakes up in the morning seeking the path which leads to Allah, then Allah will guide him to the path and give him his sustenance. Then Allah will guide him to the path and give him his sustenance. So this is the approach concerning the day. Now let me give you a quick list of things which we should observe in our daily lives. Number one, wake up and deal with your day. Welcome your day with a sound intention that you will be obeying Allah, avoiding disobedience, and asking Allah profusely to grant you success in doing all that. Second, do not abandon the remembrance of Allah. Do not abandon remembering Allah. Istighfar, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Remember Allah Azza wa Jalla often. Send the salat and salam upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fulfill Allah's obligations. Do what Allah Azza wa Jal commanded you to do during that day. Do not harm the Muslims and show mercy to the weak among them, and teach and educate those who are ignorant among them. Smile in your brother's face, because verily that is a sadaqah. A real smile, a genuine smile. Be a sincere advisor to the Muslims, or for the Muslims. Advise them. If you see one of them with shortcomings, don't keep him in his wrong way. Fight them, remind them. Sometimes you deal with a lot of rejection when you want to advise people, but that shouldn't stop you. Many people don't like to be advised because they're arrogant. That's really what it boils down to. People who don't like to be advised are arrogant people. Sincere, humble people love to be reminded when they forget. They love it when someone says, "Akhi, you've done this, this is incorrect." And when they really, they know they're wrong, they will say, "Jazakallahu khair, and you're right, I need to change. May I ask Allah to rectify my condition, I know that this is incorrect." That's the humble person. Everyone says, none of your business. Who told you to be looking at me? Mind your business. Look at your own self. Look at your own problems. Don't look at my problems. That's not a Muslim. A Muslim looks at his problems and others. Not for the mere purpose of searching for other people's problems just for the sake of it. No, because it's part of your job to advise them so they may rectify themselves, because you love for them what you love for yourself. So the niyyah plays a difference here. Do not belittle any good deed that anyone does to you, even if it is small. Someone gives you a cookie, Jazakallah khair, Allah, this is a delicious cookie you have given me. Don't you say, "Cookie man? Everybody, you know, is supposed to bring me a Big Mac, or supposed to bring me this big old meal. You know, get me a chicken, a cookie, that's all you can give me is a cookie." Don't belittle a cookie, man. That cookie from a heart which loves you is better than a car from someone who doesn't wish for you the same. Don't belittle any good deed. Do not miss out on any opportunity to get closer to Allah. Anytime you're given a chance to get nearer to Allah with a good deed, get involved. Race towards it. Don't give anyone a chance before you. When it comes to getting nearer to Allah in obedience, you take the first, you take the lead. Don't let anybody else beat you. Strive to accumulate good deeds like you strive to accumulate money. Make sure that you have the same attitude towards deeds. Avoid anything which arouses your desires. Avoid any situation which may get you acting a little silly. You know what I'm saying? And escape that. Avoid anything which will make you fall into disobedience of Allah, of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, make sure that your niyyah is always sound. The whole thing has to do with niyyah. So, if you have this attitude, then of course Asr comes in, you're in the same situation. Maghrib comes in, you're the same situation. Isha comes in, you're the same situation. You pray on time, you keep in the kinship ties, you're calling your family, you're calling your parents, you're being dutiful to them, you're fulfilling their needs, carrying out their commands, provided that they are in agreement with those of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the deen of Islam. You are giving the Muslims their rights, And if you're able to get up at night and pray, then make sure that you do so. Get a share of a privacy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the last third of the night, the virtuous time of Qiyamul Layl, which we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to help us and enable all of us to get a share of it. And with this, inshallah, I conclude my short talk on this issue. And I have someone coming over to my house in 19 minutes. So I need to be off the internet in 15 minutes, which will be dedicated for questions and answers. So, tafaddalu. Go straight to the point. Okay, question number, assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. Please just imagine you are in a bus and here beside you is a pastor. How can you start and give da'wah to him in a friendly manner? Wow. Well, what I would do is, I would say, obviously if he looks like a pastor, I mean, it's obvious that he's a Christian, I would begin the conversation by having him explain to me his concept of the purpose of life. And I will say, Pastor, I'm a Muslim, and I understand that there are a lot of commonalities between Islam and Christianity, and there are differences as well. One of the things which I'm interested in knowing is the concept of the purpose of life. Is that something which we are actually, do we have it in common or do we differ on it? So what is your objective? What is your view on the purpose of life? And then hear him out. Naturally, he's going to squeeze in Jesus there in the thing. He's going to put Jesus being God or the Son of God or the source of salvation in some point in time. And this is when you try to use this to say, oh, interesting. Well, our view is very much similar. However, we believe Jesus being the Messenger of Allah is not really part of the purpose of life. It's all about God. You know, you believe. And then you have to have knowledge now to carry on with the conversation. But personally, one approach would be what I quoted to you now. I'm sure others may think of better ways. But I think this is effective to make him begin the conversation as opposed to dropping a bomb on him. Specifically when Muslims are labeled as terrorists, you don't want to drop a bomb on him. Assalamu alaikum alaikum salam. I want to know how to give da'wah to parents about main pillars of faith when parents have no interest in knowledge. Well, that's a long story. I did give a talk before about giving da'wah to family members, which you can find on hearislam.com. But just briefly, if they're not willing to hear from you, then let them hear it from someone else. Usually someone who's older. So try to find a shaykh, an imam of a masjid, someone whom you can invite to your house and, you know, for dinner. And then let this person give a small talk. And basically, he will deliver the message on your behalf. Assalamu alaikum. Please suggest a simple deed which is easy and I can continue every day. I can't find what deed should I do. Well, someone asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the same thing, and he told him, لا يزال لسانك رطبا بذكر الله. Your tongue is still moist because of Allah's remembrance. So what is easier than doing, remembering Allah? It doesn't require any energy, any effort, anything. You do it, you know, as you go along. So just remember Allah Azza wa Jal often. That's easy, inshallah. What is the meaning of akhi and how to remove the laziness? Akhi means brother. Oh, we really need the Arabic classes, man. We really, really need the Arabic classes. Akhi means brother. How to remove the laziness? Highlight it, then press delete or backspace. I don't know how many people got that one. Supposed to be a joke, you guys. Okay, never mind. My fault. Well, I mean, you know, you just stop being lazy. Come on, I don't know what am I going to tell you? Stop being lazy. Just be serious. That's it. I have a hard time fighting with my intentions. Please advise. Knock him out. If you keep fighting, it's because you've given him a lot of power for you to keep going back and forth. If you knock him out, khalas, it's done. Just remember that, you know, anything which is for other than Allah will be of no benefit. So make sure that you do it for the sake of the one who can benefit you. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I have a hard time fighting with... Okay, I answered that. It's being asked again. Come on guys, we're running out of time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Please describe the witr prayer. When and how is it done? Should it be done daily? Zakallah khair. Yes. And just go to Islam. Ma'alish. I'm going to save you the trouble. Islamqa.com and put there witr prayer and get the whole thing. You can get everything you need there, inshallah. What age is mahram for umrah? It should be a puberty. The age of puberty. And then Satan, what is best to make us miss our fajr? Is it because I'm sinning a lot that I ain't being able to wake up for fajr? What should I do to overcome this peace? Yes! Sins definitely have something to do with it. Sins definitely have something to do with it. So, one avoids sins during the day so he can be given success during fajr. And I already discussed in the beginning of the dars how to deal with that. So please refer back to the audio or the recording. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. I know a sister was having extreme troubles with salah because she thinks she has to concentrate on each word, ayah, dhikr, and really think about it for her salah to be acceptable. This causes her salah to be very long and distressful over time. How can I help her, inshallah? We help her by telling her that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, halak al-mutanaffi'un, halak al-mutanaffi'un, halak al-mutanaffi'un. They have destroyed themselves and they are destroyed the extremists. Islam is a religion of ease and, you know, it is not a religion of complications. It doesn't work this way. It doesn't work this way. So, she just, you know, tell her to take it easy and slow down. Concerning fiqh principles, how do we know when to apply the letter of the law or the intent of the law? Maybe the answer requires a book. Is there a short answer or does each ruling have to be looked at individually? Each ruling has to be looked at individually. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. When invoking Allah, which of His names can we use if you want to mend or repair the relationship between two people that has turned sour? And which of His names can we use when asking Him to protect us from the evil speech and actions of other people? Any name of Allah. Any name of Allah. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا وَذَرَ الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ. To Allah belongs the most beautiful name, so call on Him by these names. Call on Him by these names. Call on Allah. Qulidu'ullaha wadu'urrahman. Ayyamma tadu'u. Falahu nasma'ul husna. Say, call on Allah or call on the most merciful. Whichever one you wind up calling on as in the name, to Allah belongs a beautiful name. Need is call on Allah Azza wa Jal. You don't have to use a particular name for a particular need. When we do adhkar like Allahu Akbar subhanAllah, can we say it in our heart without moving our tongues? No, you should say it with your heart and move your tongue.
Salaam alaykum, alaykum salaam. A person in Pakistan treats people affected by sihr and he uses help of a female jinn whom he says is Muslim. Can we go for him for ruqya? You should run away from him as far as you can. As far as you can. He's using jinn, then he is probably worse than the people he's dealing with. You deal with ruqya. You give ruqya with the name of Allah, with the Quran, with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now with a female jinn. A female jinn? Yeah, and if it was a male jinn, we would still say it's a problem. A female jinn? Allah yadi, may Allah guide him. And these people, many of these people are tricky. Okay guys, I need to leave soon. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. Can you pray tahiyyat al-masjid before Maghrib Adhan? Although there's the hadith which says we shouldn't pray after Asr, we're told it's makruh. Well, this is an issue concerning which the scholars have differed. Some of them said that the general prohibition applies and subsequently you do not pray tahiyyat al-masjid if it's before Maghrib because of the time. Whereas other scholars said no, the prohibition is concerning general voluntary prayers and the tahiyyat al-masjid is a min zawati al-asbab, is a prayer which has a reason behind it. So they say it is an exception or it specifies a general prohibition. So the bottom line is the scholars have differed. Some of them say you should pray, some of them said you shouldn't pray. And so I personally go with the opinion that you should pray. Can a woman pray Nafil or Quran for dead husband? No, she cannot. No, she cannot. She can give sadaqah, she can perform Umrah or Hajj, and she can make dua for him. She cannot read Quran, nor can she pray on his behalf. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. Is there any dua to wake up at Fajr? No, I don't know of anyone except that you just, make it a part of your life and schedule that you wake up for Fajr. And that you fulfill the promises. Assalamu alaikum salam. How important is praying Jumu'ah? I live in a place where masjid is far and it's inconvenient for me to travel long distance. Takes 45 minutes. What do you advise? I don't remember the ruling on the one who lives such a distance. Perhaps inshallah next on Tuesday we'll be able to elaborate on that. I'll look it up and let you know inshallah. So make sure you come back. How to be perfect in Arabic language? Like any other subject or language, by practicing it. By learning and practicing. If you don't learn, you don't practice, you're not going to be good. Okay guys, I think my student came a little earlier than expected. I think they're knocking on the door or ringing the bell. I'll have to excuse myself. I already told you earlier, it's going to have 15 minutes and pretty much I'm on time. But I'll answer the last question. Can I visit my father's grave only once? No, you should not. No, you should not. Women do not go to the graveyard. Okay, forgive me and pardon me. Zakum Allah khair. We look forward to seeing you inshallah in the future. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.